This we said at the time, the new ownership group has the longest leash ever because of how bad Dan Snyder was. But now they're also like somewhat deserved. They're doing good thing after good thing after good thing for Commanders fans. It's kind of wild, actually, just to see like what a 180 for a franchise.
If you ever had any question about whether ownership matters to the success of a franchise,
yeah.
Look no further than Washington, the laughing stock, the armpit of the NFL for 20 years.
Man, they're about to get out of the worst stadium in the NFL. They're about to get a new one because their stadium stinks right now.
Yeah, they're going to get a new stadium in a better part of town for the stadium. And they're going to get and their team's good, and they have a good quarterback, and, you know, they're just well-run. It's all just, you know, it just works. It's not surprising. I know bad ownership can impact a team. Sometimes it's hard. It must be just the players. And you're like, no. Sometimes it's just the horrible.
Well, when it's to the level of Dan Snyder, it's absolutely on him, right? There's some owners that are decent. They just haven't been a good football
team. Yeah.
When it's Dan Snyder, you pick your own worst owners in sports history kind of stuff, right? Dan Snyder's, Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland, I'll throw him in the mix.
Yeah, that's fair.
You were talking about Tepper.
Yeah, he. The jury's still a little bit out. But
I need a little more time on it, but he's certainly heading that direction.
He's heading in that direction.
Going into
sure.
local bars complaining about signs is not pretty sad behavior.
I think Jim Irsay's flirting with that very much so right now as well.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know, we all know the names, right? I think most of them are pretty avid. Obviously, what's his name with the Athletics?
The Chicago White Sox owner.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot, man.
He got in the way of the Bulls run somehow. So it's all the same stuff. Yeah. Just keep running into trouble, you know? Just like us in Springfield.
Nobody
you didn't get in any trouble. You know what? You weren't getting
that. Are you surprised? I mean,
no.
If we had a pool of least likely to.
Oh, dude, we got asked this like at the thing, like least likely, most likely to get in trouble. Me and Dusty are always at the top of the list somewhere.
And in fairness, look, you guys really didn't. I mean, Dusty almost got kicked out of the bar. That's the clue. You didn't almost get in trouble.
No, just the one guy at the bar.
Just karaoke wasn't good. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah.
But like, Dusty's the only one. Yeah.
I did have somebody at the karaoke bar when all these sad songs are being played. I said, "What song are you doing?" And she said, "It's somebody you haven't heard of. It's this really old school country song called Leanne Rimes." Oh, and my exact response
not
was,
called Leanne Rimes. By Leanne Rimes. I don't know what the name of it
and
was.
And my exact response to her was, "I'm 40. I know who Leanne Rimes is."
That was the only other thing I would say. Now, we were with people we knew that were also our age, but otherwise,
to
get a drink in one of these, you got to stand there for 10 minutes. Like, again, back in college, you're standing there for 10 minutes.
Drinks are cheap, though.
Oh,
at the karaoke bar was like $3 or something.
I had a decent number of drinks at the first bar, and my tab was $10.
That's good.
And it was, I claimed I didn't want well vodka either, and it was $10.
You were trying to up the ante.
I think they might have not charged me for one or something, but almost lost my debit card there though.
They did. I hope that's the whole other thing.
They gave me my tab. I signed and I was talking to somebody. And I guess it was my fault too, but they didn't get my card back. And then right as we walked out the front door, I'm like, wait a second.
I don't have my card.
So crisis averted.
Fortunate.
That
would have
sucked, dude.
Well, because I'm about to leave. I'm about to go out of town too. I would have to go get like to the one of those temporary ones at the branch or something. There's no way they would have gotten me a permit.
It was really, by the way, good meeting everybody down there. So if you went on the trip.
For sure.
Had a lot of great conversations, met a lot of great people. Glad everybody could make it. Hopefully we can do something like this again sometime.
There was one listener. We've talked to her before. I know she's listening, I'm sure, because she listens all the time. We were at the first bar.
Yeah.
She comes up to me. She goes, look, I've listened to the show for a while. You seem like a good guy and all that. She's like, we got to talk about your love life.
Yeah, she's very invested and worried about it.
I was like, she's super nice, so I'm not even making
she's
fun
invested,
of her.
She said.
But I was not expecting that conversation.
Yeah. That's all right. They're just trying to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
From 785, you guys have any extra CAG shirts?
We do
send
not,
a check after. Sadly, no. They all went out there, but they are available both in the Crossroads store and on Raygun's website. So if you want them, you can still get them. We'll talk about CAGs here in a minute. Not from the trip or what we saw, but what he's doing in AA and why you and I are on board that it is time to move to AAA and that move could be coming somewhat soon. Let's talk Chiefs for a minute.
Yep.
It was rookie minicamp, so we got a first view of a couple of guys. You and I both had the same reaction, which is they're talking about Simmons, they're looking at him, but we don't have a ton of information on where he is health-wise, other than Simmons said he was going to work his ass off and that the Chiefs have told him they will be careful with him to make sure he can be healthy. Now, they have not changed the timeline of they still kind of half expect him to be ready for camp. But until he's ready for Camp Gold, I kind of refuse to think he's ready for
it. I mean, when Andy Reid's quoted as saying, I'm surprised, how well Josh Simmons moved around on the first day of rookie minicamp. Yeah, it beats the alternative, but I also don't, you were never going to get a quote from Andy that said, you know, actually not moving around well. You know, we thought he'd be better already. Like that was never, you never were going to hear that said. So yeah, let's see what happens at training camp. That's more, I think, when we can start judging. First day at camp, is he out there actually practicing or is he standing around watching, which is what he's doing right now? And understandably so, because it's still only May 5th. He had the injury in October. He's not supposed to be ready on May 5th, but is he ready on, you know, August 1st, let's call it, end of July, but August 1st, is he ready then to be in every single drill, whether it's with the first or second team or not, doesn't matter. But is he actually able to fully practice at that point? That's all that matters. Not can he fully practice in May for rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I wonder whether or not, and a lot of this I think is going to probably largely depend on his availability as it kind of relates closer to it. His only chance to win the job, Gold, is if he's ready day one of training camp. That's it. It's his only chance to win the job. Is that because if it's 2 weeks in, they will use that like the ultimate crutch. You know what? Just couldn't get him up to speed.
Well, that's why I think the public.
Not enough time for the reps. And it's also why they got themselves a safety net. In retrospect, seeing how they went with the Jalen Moore option, not the Dan Moore option, not the trade option, they tried for Ronnie Stanley, but that didn't work out either. When it ended up being Jalen Moore, and this is where, like, I just, sometimes it's like, it was groupthink. I was just like, everybody's saying Joshua Simmons. It can't be right. Everyone can't be right. Drafts are really hard to predict. And now you're telling me that 80% of people have picked 31, what ended up being picked 32, right, in the NFL draft? No way. But in retrospect, the second thing with the Jalen Moore option, that was the just, hey, we don't know if this guy's going to be ready day one. We think he kicks ass. So what we're going to do is Jalen Moore's going to start for a year. Juwan Taylor's going to start for a year. And then enter Joshua Simmons. Now, I'll say, I don't know if we discuss enough how big of a risk their current plan at left and right tackle is again. So their plan right now is start Jalen Moore for 1 year, start Juwan Taylor for 1 year, and then maybe have to restart at right and left tackle all over again in 1 year with a guy coming off a major injury in college, or maybe Jalen Moore gets year two of his contract and you don't start over at right and left, but then 2 years from now, you got to restart. Yeah, so it's like, it's risky.
Of course it's risky. Simmons in particular. I told you with drafting Simmons that in 2026, I actually think they will have more options than they've had in a long time because they will have the option of either keeping Jalen Moore at left tackle, moving him to right tackle, or Josh Simmons is left tackle, or he's right tackle. Like, they will have more options, plus the option to potentially draft again if they had to. Hopefully not, but they actually have, August, they're in better spot. Yes, it's risky, unknown,
better than last year.
But technically they have three options to play two positions. They didn't have that. Kingsley, of course, won the job immediately to start the season. Obviously, in hindsight, you're like, how the hell did that happen? But he won the job, and that was it. And then, he gets pulled, and the rest is history with how the season went at that position. But I actually think they're positioned to have more options in 2026 than they've had in a while.
Yeah, it's not that they don't have options. I'm just saying and I don't think it's as big of an unknown as last year, but it's still a big unknown.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Moore is an unknown. His backup option is an even bigger unknown than Josh Simmons. And then a year from now, and this goes back to the Jalen Moore, you have him under contract for 2 years, so you certainly can go that route. But his contract, like everyone else's contract, is structured in a way where he is not guaranteed to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs in a year. And because he's an unknown in the sense that we don't know that he will perform this year, they'll be stuck back in a decision. And how about this? If let's say Simmons wins the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then all year Juwan Taylor, because he's making way more money, starts.
Mm-hmm. Then Jalen Moore could be your right tackle.
Even if he doesn't play at all this year?
Well, in this hypothetical, yes. But I think... where we disagree anyway, I think Jalen Moore is playing left tackle week one. But I do too.
I don't disagree with that. I was asking in the hypothetical that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think there's. I think there'd be a real chance that he's the right tackle.
Fair enough.
In 2026.
He's a dead cap hit next year, $10 million, Jalen Moore. He's definitely a number that you can cut. Not likely you would, but definitely a number you could if you decided to go that route. I'm just asking. He's a 28-year-old guy who's never been a full-time starting tackle in the league. They got better options. I like the upside of all the options way more.
A lot of potential upside, but there's risk involved. Yeah.
Yeah, just that's all. Just a bit surprising, at least on that end, to go with it. All right, so Jack Caglione. We've already told you he's the nicest guy on the planet.
Really was.
Giant human being. He hits it like Paul Bunyan. Whatever, right?
Right.
The normal stuff. I was thinking back through it, and This timing is going to sound very false because Alex and I would say, for the most part, we've been tempering down to what we believe to be realistic expectations for how quickly he would move through the system. We were just like, hey, he doesn't need to be in AAA yet. He doesn't need to be in the big leagues yet. Give him time. He needs to develop. He needs to. And I think one very clear marker you and I made from the beginning is he better start playing right field.
And he is.
Before any of this stuff happens. So the right field, now with the right field marker underway, and he played right field when we were down there to see him on Saturday, played right field again yesterday. He's playing it 2-3 times a week at this point. The other thing was, can he perform? In his last 14 games, Jack Caglione is hitting .431, .516 on base, and a .1202 OPS. Multiple homers, bunch of doubles. He's striking out in that 14-game stretch at less than 22%. Bobby Wood Jr. in AA, just if you wanted an example of a guy, struck out at 30%. MJ Melendez stuck at 28%. So in the last 14 games, Jack Caglione, you might still look at the strikeout numbers and say they're high. They are trending really well, like in a much more positive direction over the last 14 games. I'm not going to give you every number, but I pulled up the AA stats for Alex Gordon, a guy I know crushed AA. Played 130 games there, which is of note. That's 100 games more than Jack Caglione's played right now in AA. But if you averaged out the 130-game pace, Jack would have the same number of homers, a few less doubles, way more RBI, and a similar number of strikeouts for the pace. So you're like, I'm starting to think now's good. Anytime now in the next 2 weeks, they're fine to call Jack up to AAA, not to the big leagues.
Yeah, it's in AAA call-up is in play any day now. It could be Memorial Day weekend, which was kind of the original thought, potentially, at least from us on this show, or it could be, you know, today, theoretically. I don't think it will be, but it could be, right? He now has over 100 at-bats. He is starting to play back-to-back days in right field. The numbers obviously speak for themselves. It looks like when you watch the at-bats that he is outclassing some of the players that are around him, or pitching to him, I should say, in particular. Once that happens, then a call-up is real to AAA. So, yeah, I think nobody's going to push back on it anymore. Because he's hit a couple of the benchmarks number-wise. Mm-hmm. And it's not as cut and dry as, all right, you had 100, but these are all benchmarks that you look at. And the last 2 weeks has been pretty sensational from him anyway, let alone this weekend. So it's going to happen very soon to AAA, and then we can start the clock on potentially what happens after that, obviously, with the big leagues. But that could also be an even longer wait, let's be real. That's going to be months, probably.
If he hits like this, not 400, but let's just say he keeps up his season averages, which are currently Jack Caglione's hitting .314, a .400 on base, a .938 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
So like he leads the Texas League in RBI. He's like third in homers. The numbers are good. If he just stays at that pace, what's the longest conceivable time he's a AA? The end of this month?
Yeah, I'll stick with the initial the original projection, which is like Memorial Day weekend, right around there. I think that's when the call up would happen.
Like, I just, like, that's it, right? End of the month, May, first week of June. I mean, max, right? If he keeps hitting like this, the benefit's not there. And they've made it clear. So we could talk about stuff like where they had Alex Gordon skip AA or.
Yeah, and he's going to AAA.
The quality of pitching here or defense or whatever, they've always said they want him to go to AAA. So there's no reason to think that that's not a part of the plan. Again, barring some sort of like massive injury run in the outfield. Or at this point, like Vinny or so, you know, like it would take something like that.
Yeah.
And I just like, Caglione should take his time.
If he goes to AAA and he rakes, and obviously we all hope that's the case, there still will have to be an opening. And I know it's easy to say right now, well, Hunter Renfroe, let's just see what happens though. Is Hunter Renfroe DFA'd in the next month? Does he start hitting? Like all these different things contribute to that. So it's Jack Caglione will have to get the call to AAA. Will have to continue to perform and improve. And then there has to be an opening. And yeah, it seems like if we're trying to be optimistic about the next couple of months, it seems like, assuming the Royals are in the mix, that the trade deadline, there might be two bats that you try to bring into the picture. One could be in your organization, as in Jack Caglione. The other would be outside. And there's your two pieces. And all of a sudden you lengthen your lineup and Cags is batting like seventh, right? With some other guy you call up. He's your seventh hitter. I don't know where he would be. Towards the bottom. He's not jumping into fourth, I'll tell you that.
Just tell you the way it works normally. He'd probably be hitting behind Mass. He'd be hitting sixth or seventh.
Yeah, so right in that range. And that lengthens your lineup. All of a sudden, I tell you, that bat is hitting seventh for your team.
Way better. I told you, the biggest thing for me is you have to move him through the system at a pace, at the way he's hitting right now. you have to at least move him through the system at a pace that you are forced into making the decision about whether or not you need to trade for the person who will play right field the rest of the year for you.
Yeah.
Or that, because they're never going to trade for a guy who has like 4 years of control, right? That doesn't make sense.
Probably not.
You're not going to block your own guy from coming up for years and years. But there is, what's the trade? Anybody know the MLB trade deadline date this year?
I don't. In July or something. I have no idea.
We're not in sports radio talk mode yet where the MLB trade deadline.
July 31st, okay. Thursday at 5 p.m.
So if you're, do they have a lot of time? They got all of May, all of June, all of July. They still have 90 days, pretty much 80 days to make this decision. But in the next 80 days, they got to decide whether they would rather have Jack Caglione as a major league player for their team in the middle of a playoff hunt,
mm-hmm.
or they want a guy they trade for. Because the truth is, they still need another outfielder. That's not going away. So unless MJ like turns it all around in the minors, even then, it's like, then Renfro, like they're going to need at some point. I think they're going to look for at some point an updated or an upgrade in their outfield.
But yeah, so, absolutely. Like, I think there's, it won't just be one move when that time comes, but Cags could be part of that equation, but he has to perform at AAA whenever that happens. And there's no guarantee that that occurs. We all think it will. There's no guarantee. And that could take a little bit longer. We'll see. I think the pace that they're going with Cags right now seems to be a pretty good one still. I mean, if you tell me he gets called up by the end of the month, that's not really slow playing it. That's still a pretty fast track, even for a college player, but there's no reason to press it. Like, I think they're actually finding
it. Fall league and this, he's played like 60 minor league games.
I think they're threading that kind of that fine line right now of doing both, right? Not slow playing it, not rushing him, make sure he gets to certain benchmarks, but not feel like you're hurrying him up to the big leagues to come and be the savior in June. No, if he gets called up at some point this year to the big leagues, he's an added weapon to your arsenal. He's not going to be the guy that's going to carry your offense. You certainly don't want to put that pressure. Now, next year, opening day, completely different conversation. We could have much higher expectations and things like that on what he can be. But it's tough to temper expectations because what he's doing. But there's a difference if you're asking him to step in this year and be your number seven hitter in August than if you're talking about him having to step up and carry the load. But there's so many different things that can occur. I do think Drew Waters' performance has made this less pressing.
Allows you to be
more patient. And look, the Hunter Renfro thing's going to sort itself out one way or the other over the next month.
I'm telling you, I'm more convinced. Jack, I'm not even kidding. I'm more convinced Jack Caglione handles pressure well based on the fact that he knew there were 200 people in the stands. And instead of like not living up to the moment, hit a homer for everyone, you know?
He did.
He knew we were all there to watch him play
ready
baseball.
And the pitch.
That sound. I didn't realize how rowdy we were until I heard that clip.
People were fired up, man. That's why we came to Springfield, was to watch him hit a home run. It's exactly what he did.
We were really loud in three particular moments. One, Jack Caglione's homer. One, Carter Jensen's homer, we were also very loud for, and the duck.
I guess this happens in Springfield.
The duck who was on the field and a delay for the duck. That was the other time we were really loud as a group.
Multiple delays due to ducks that they couldn't get off the field. And I was like, how are we going to sit here? How long is this going to take? They were just very casually trying to walk behind the duck. And eventually they trapped it, and it kind of like, they opened one of the doors of the bullpen, and it kind of just...
It came back for a little bit and was singing. Drew was also invested. We were all invested.
I think it was the same duck that just kept coming back. And then
I think so too.
And then it made one victory lap where it flew in and everybody went nuts. And then it flew away.
In the video of the duck that's on social media, you can hear somebody from our section yell, "He just wants an autograph."
So what name?
I don't know. I didn't know if that was if one of you or who.
It was
somebody,
not me.
Somebody yelled that.
Vote, an official vote on the text line, 913-586-7965. There was a duck on the field. We're all having fun with it. We were trying to decide between the official duck's name.
Yeah, one option is
Quags.
Quaglione.
Quack Quaglione. Quack Caglione, just keep the same, and then Quags.
Mm-hmm.
So Cags, but with the quack at the beginning. So which of those three do you like of the potential duck names? We're definitely naming the duck after Jack Caglione, so that's already on there. But we'd like an official vote from the text line. We couldn't decide at the game. There were too many good choices. We're all very invested. That also, the stadium's nice for everybody who said that before.
Yeah, they were correct. Hammonds Field, really cool venue. Really, really cool venue. And
every seat in the house was
had
awesome.
A very entertaining vendor as well. Shout out to him.
Yeah, he was
having
doing a good
fun.
Job.
He was having some fun.
Did you get a beer off of him? He talked me into one.
Dusty bought me a beer off that he got off of him. Yeah.
Nice. That guy was fun. It was just a fun park. And those seats would cost me $100 at Kauffman. Like, we're sitting, you know, 12 rows back. We were right on, I mean, you could essentially just handshake Caglione from, like, the net from where we were sitting. And we, you know, again, that's where all the seats were. It was a good time. And I, yeah, I'd never been to the thing, so it was at least a spot. Everybody says Quags, apparently. Oh, no. Oh, man, it's a good. I need some more votes.
Donald Caglione.
Oh, my goodness.
no, I want.
Someone says, you guys have been talking about Springfield the last few weeks. I thought it was Springdale. That is, we went to Springdale a couple years ago to see Bobby. This was a road game, timing-wise, shorter drive, so we did Springfield. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals were in Springfield for a road game, but you were correct. Yes, Springdale is typically where they...
Personal schedules coupled with the idea that we were worried if he had performed too well that he wouldn't be in AA. Locked us into that date. Really happy everyone made it.
Up next, we're going to get to a quick what's trending. Plus, we had the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, join us earlier. We asked him about CAGs, the timeline, what do they need to see, and what are they seeing right now from Drew Waters? That's coming up next.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the Royals, who are back home against the Chicago White Sox tonight. 6:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 5:30 right here on 96.5. The Fan. Cole Reagans makes his first start in a couple outings because of the skip start, so hopefully all is well with him. The Royals, it'd be nice if they just want to dominate the White Sox like they did all last year.
Sure. Another season where they just have like one loss in the entire year, that'd be fine. White Sox stink.
They do.
Next up on What's Trending, Washington, D.C. has officially announced they will host the NFL draft in 2027. They'll host it at the National Mall outside in that area. No question. This is partially because they've got a new stadium deal in the works. It's been a little while since it's been in DC. I would expect the Chiefs to get another major event once their stadium stuff starts getting under the way as well. As we know, that's still probably a few months away for them. But yeah, Washington, D.C., NFL Draft 2027. That'll be a really cool spot. Really popular trip for people.
Yeah, the scenery on that one is going to be absolutely insane. Next up, longtime KU assistant Norm Roberts has announced he is retiring. 14 years at KU, 22 years with Bill Self. Of course, was the head coach at St. John's at one point, had to stop at Florida. When the season ended, we were trying to figure out what went wrong, right? And I'm not saying it was Norm Roberts, but just like what went wrong, things that could help them in the future with NIL or anything like that. And we said, maybe they need some fresh blood on the staff, some younger eyes to look at how to proceed forward, fresh ideas, all of that. And this is the first maybe of a couple coaching staff changes for Kansas. I actually welcome this quite a bit. I'm glad to see they're going to make a change. But Norm Roberts, great personality, great laugh, by the way, if you ever talk to him. Super nice guy. Congratulations to him on his retirement.
Next up on What's Trending, of course, NBA playoffs underway, hoping for a better set this round through. Some big-time matchups, Celtics and Knicks tonight. 6 o'clock tip-off for that one. First time these two teams have faced each other this late in the playoffs since 1984, Gold. So never in your life. And when I was an infant. Thunder and Nuggets tonight as well at 8:30. A couple games last night. Pacers got game one. Warriors got game one in those series.
Lastly, Sporting Kansas City made some MLS history last night. I was there because we had the Sporting KC media game as well at halftime. But they were taking on the LA Galaxy. They won their match without attempting a shot. Single shot, not shot on goal. Like, they didn't take a single shot. They scored in the first half because of an own goal on LA Galaxy. So 1-0 win for the Sporting Kansas City. And they're playing some better soccer. Moving on, new era, all that. It was also Star Wars night, which was really cool last night at the
They had a huge banner down there.
Yeah, the new Hulk Cauldron banner was really, really cool. Also, KC Current were in action over the weekend. They lost their second match of the season. They've lost two in a row. Their next game is Sunday on Mother's Day at CPKC Stadium.
Do not disappoint the mothers.
The mothers.
Sunday, you know? You were undefeated up to this stretch. Two-game losing streak for them at the moment. Two-match losing streak for them at the moment. But, you know, I'm not worried about them. Yeah. They are a very, very, very good club.
That is what's trending. Don't forget, it is a Monday, and our lunch partner on Cody and Gold is our friends over at 30 Hop. Brand new location just opened up last week in Merriam. They also have that location in Lee Summit today. What's great about Monday? $5.99 classic burgers. Just $5.99 for a classic burger. It's your new go-to for an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, unbeatable happy hour. I was just out there last week as well at the new location. It's super nice. The food is terrific. They've brought in some food before. I went back to the yakisoba noodles, man. I went back to the yakisoba noodles. Can't go wrong with that. Plus, again, the burger's really, really good.
I had like a French dip sandwich. It was really good. They say they've got something for everybody, and I believe it based on the menu.
Great menu. Local beer. American Eats. Big patio. Thinking of food, though, we were joking early in the show about going down to Springfield for the original cashew chicken and everything, and that's actually how we started our interview with JJ Piccolo, because we were discussing how Dusty liked his, I didn't like it, and so we asked JJ Piccolo, has he had the Springfield cashew chicken?
I can't say that I have.
what's your go-to order at a Chinese restaurant?
Usually just the any type of chicken, stir fry, you know, pretty basic. I don't have the stomach for anything too spicy, too hot, so I stay pretty bland.
But you said you'd heard, I guess, this cashew chicken in Springfield. It started there. It's supposed to be very good, and maybe we went to the wrong place. I'm just saying, I didn't think it was any good, JJ. That's all.
Now, the only thing I've heard of down there, they have I think it's a breakfast place, a biscuit throw.
Oh, Lambert's, the home of the throne rolls.
Yeah. Lambert's. Yeah.
You got it.
I've lived in Missouri long enough, JJ. I found my way into a Lambert's once or twice.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. We're obviously going to get to what's going on with the big league club, but just because we were in Springfield, we can confirm, you know, it turns out Jack Caglione can hit the baseball pretty far.
Yeah, no, that's something without a doubt. I mean, he's been doing that for a long time with his career in Florida. So seeing him hit balls as far as he hits them is certainly part of his game and a big part of his game. I think it's the part that catches everybody's eye, you know. So, but I know that you guys were down there and it looked like you hit that one pretty good.
When you look at what Jack Caglione, I know that you guys like guys to dominate a level before going to the next level. What is a timeline for Jack Caglione from AA to AAA? Do you think that could be in the cards here in the future?
Well, it's certainly we don't have a set date on it. You know, it's just one of those things that when our evaluators are down there, and we had a bunch in Springfield this week, you know, make the recommendation to our player development staff that it's time to move Jack to AAA. That's when we'll move him. But you know, those things are so hard to just say it's going to be by this date or by that date. What we want is between now and the time Jack hits the major leagues, he's as complete of a hitter as he can possibly be. We know how hard it is in the major leagues, watching some of the young guys that are in the major leagues right now really struggling, and that's not the way we want to break Jack into the big leagues. It doesn't mean he won't struggle, but we want him to be as prepared as he possibly can. A lot of that comes down to swing decisions, you know, understanding what the situations are, really no different than any other hitter. You know, Jack's just clearly very talented and is on a faster track than most guys would be.
Organizationally, do you guys kind of avoid the midweek call up? Like, would you guys typically do that? Like, would you want Omaha home? Do you do that on a Monday? Because then, you know, the minor league schedule is crazy now. They just like spend 6 days in a place.
Yeah. You know, ideally, you know, you want when a player makes, you know, gets a promotion, you want them to make one stop, you know, just go to the club that they're going to. But it doesn't always work out that way. You know, it's just that's the most ideal. You got the Monday off day. Guys can travel, get settled, and then they're not getting on a plane or a bus to go somewhere else. So that's the most ideal, but it doesn't – we've done it so many different ways. But this schedule in the minor leagues, which is pretty clean, does make things like that a little bit more difficult, but certainly not impossible.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. Someone that was in the minors to start this season, Drew Waters, has now been up with you guys for multiple weeks, and he looks somewhat like a, I don't know if it's fair to say, a different player. I don't know if it's confidence. What has changed for him this time around?
Well, I think what Drew's doing right now is staying within his abilities. He's not trying to do too much. I think he's bought into the idea that he's very athletic. The more he can get on base, the more we can use his legs, the more valuable he is to the team. I think something that maybe he's gotten Drew in trouble in the past is he can hit a ball a long way. He's got power, but that's not going to be his game, and certainly not at Kauffman Stadium. It's just, you know, too difficult. We've seen it over the years to count on power. There's certain guys, yeah, they have power to hit it out of the ballpark here, but a majority, large majority of our players need to be good hitters. They need to make good swing decisions. They need to put the ball in play. In Drew's case, because he's athletic, use his legs. And we really like what he's doing right now. He's not trying to do too much. The at-bat yesterday with two outs and two men on, that was a huge at-bat. And he had two strikes on him. He did a great job laying off a changeup. And then he just slaps a ball to left center field and knocks in two. If we have five or six hitters in our lineup who can do that, especially, you know, towards the bottom of our lineup and get the top of our lineup back over, now our offense will really get something going, and Drew's doing a great job with it.
What about Mikel? Same energy we're talking about with Drew Waters, except for he stayed in the major leagues this entire time. We've seen good stretches out of Mikel Garcia where this kind of stuff happens. I think we've talked a little bit about his power before and how it needs to come naturally, not maybe early in the year where it felt like maybe he was going to have a bigger home run year. Now, once again, after two home runs yesterday, like, Mikel, where's his confidence, I guess? And like, is he doing anything different than last year that makes this more sustainable?
I think the big difference, very similar to what we were just saying about Drew, he's staying within his abilities. Mikel's not going to be a 30 home run guy, but he's got enough power to hit some homers. But the key is, you know, he had two really good at-bats after the homers. He hit a single to right center field, and he moved a runner late in the game. That's a clear sign to us that Mikel has matured from last year to this year. He's staying within what the pitchers give him. He's not trying to do too much. And that was as exciting from my perspective as the two home runs, because that's baseball, and that's the way we're going to win games. And Mikel last year got out of that. It wasn't until we got late in the year into the playoffs he dialed it back in. So we know it's within his abilities. There's no doubt he's a very talented player. But when you see a player not get caught up in a game where he's hit a couple balls really good and stay within his abilities, that's a great sign of where Mikel is mentally right now.
JJ, I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but I felt like I've noticed he's pulling the ball more. Was that, you know, is that an intentional thought, or like, what do you kind of think about his swing that way?
No, actually, his focus has been more right center field, and he's got his share of hits to right center field. But the idea is, if I'm trying to pull the ball, it's more likely I'm going to pull off the ball and not handle balls on the outer part of the plate. So the mental approach is try to stay towards right center field. If they hang a breaking ball like yesterday, yeah, I can turn on it, but I'm also staying closed and putting myself in a good position to hit that ball, and therefore you pull it. You know, so I think it's quite the opposite. Because he's staying more towards the middle of the field, if somebody makes a mistake and throws something soft on the inner half, he's going to pull it, but he's got to stay on those balls away and stay to right center field. If he's going to hit for average, get on base. And one of the other great indicators right now is he's walking at a very high rate compared to what his career walk rate's been. So they're all great signs, and we just need him to stay on that track.
We didn't have a chance to talk to you since Noah Cameron made his MLB debut, of course, last week for Cole Reagans, who, of course, scheduled to start tonight, I believe. What did you see from Noah Cameron to be able to go out there and put himself in that kind of position in his debut? And now I would imagine just talking about confidence has to be pretty high for him.
Yeah, saw a whole lot of composure out there. He was not rattled one bit. Actually, you know, from the time he arrived to the clubhouse, he did not seem like a rookie about to make his debut. He's very, very calm, very confident, and the composure is what really stood out. And, you know, probably going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, but even by his own admission, when he broke down the game the next day, he really didn't have his best stuff. You know, he can throw the ball a lot better, more crisp with his command. His breaking ball can be sharper. His velocity was fine. But, you know, he wasn't what we've seen in the past, which is a great sign, because in his major league debut, he knew he didn't have his best stuff, but he kept making pitches and competing. And that's a great sign of somebody that's going to do some really good things in major leagues.
How about somebody who's already done a lot in the major leagues? Salvador Perez, I kind of liken him, and I know you guys know at this point, you got to drag his ass off the field if he's going to miss any time. But I mean, he's 35. Do you guys look at a player like that? Do you consider like, hey, maybe we need to give him a day? Because it's not easy to get Salvi not to play baseball.
Yeah, it's a constant discussion with Salvi. He loves being on the field, and that's what you love about him, right? He's a warrior. You know, he wants to be on that field every day. I think he's at a point in his career where he understands he can't catch quite as much as he did before. you know, fortunately, we have a really good other catcher in Freddie Fermin that allows us to do that and get Salvi off his legs a little bit. But, it is a battle, but it's a good battle. You know, he wants to play, and that's what your good leaders do. They want to play. They want to compete. Salvi's, the best I've ever been around with as far as his desire and his mental toughness to get through, I'll say even pain at times and play. And then there comes a time where we've got to protect him from himself. The other day it was pretty clear, he had aggravated, the groin and a little bit of his hip that he's had going on. And when he comes out of a game, that it's bugging him a little bit more. And he was very amenable to not playing the next day and even getting another day off after that. And then got back in there yesterday, and we'll slowly start getting him back behind the plate. But we want to do it at the right time because we need Salvi through the entire season. We don't need him for a week. We need him for 6-7 months is what we need him for. So being able to have those conversations with Salvi is really important, and he understands that. He's a pro, and he knows what this game's all about.
Cole Reagans tonight, as you guys open up a series against the White Sox, we know his start last was skipped, of course. That's why we brought up Noah Cameron. But is he any limitation for Cole tonight? Is he good to go?
Yeah, no, he's good to go. It was our choice to skip a start here. We're pretty confident he could have made that start last Wednesday, but same idea. This right. is the long haul. It's not about one start. We don't have any preset limitations on him. We'll just watch him closely. The coaches in the dugout, the trainers, if we see any signs of fatigue in the fifth inning, we're not going to push it. We're hoping he give us a good 5, maybe 6. If he does that, that's great. He's going to be really efficient with his pitches to do so. But that'll be an in-game decision on how to handle him.
I want to ask you about one more player who is, because again, you guys struggled on offense for the first month. Now that some hitting's come your way the last week, it's obvious in the notable guys. Vinny Pasquantino seems to be hitting quite a bit better the last week. I guess, in retrospect, what do you think the issues were for Vinny, and what are you seeing the last few days that's making it look a little bit better?
Well, Vinny looks more like himself right now. He's swinging at good pitches, and he's hitting the ball hard on low-line drives, not real high trajectory. I think early on it was pretty evident that it was pitch selection. Probably Vinny's best attributes is he's very selective. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. As he's gotten better and he's more recognizable to the other team, they pitch him a little bit tougher, and they had him chasing for a couple weeks. Balls, they were pounding him inside, and Vinny was fighting them off, and that's not the pitches he really wants to hit. But I think what Vinny's done is slowed it down really, really well. He's swinging at good pitches, and this is the hitter we know Vinny is. That's why we never had any panic with him. It was just a matter of getting him enough at bats and getting his timing back so he can see the ball well, and Vinny will do what he does.
JJ Pecola, Royals General Manager, Vice President of Baseball Ops, always kind enough to join us here on Cody and Gold. We appreciate it, JJ. We'll check in a few weeks.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
There you go. JJ Pecola earlier today, and you got kind of his perspective on what their decision-making process is. And obviously he's the guy that's going to make that decision on Jack Caglione, and when it's right, him and others, but he's ultimately going to make that decision on when it's time to call him up to AAA, and ultimately later on in the year, if in fact it's going to be this year, to the big leagues and some of the things that they want to see. And then as far as the big league club, what he said about both Michael Garcia and Andrew Waters is it's two players that are performing off of what they actually can do, if that makes sense, at this level, instead of trying to maybe be somebody you're kind of not.
Yeah, Drew Waters is not hitting 340 with 10 home runs. He's hitting 285. And like, for all the players to be like, can this continue? The answer is maybe not. I mean, this certainly goes that way. But I look at guys like in Baltimore and Ryan O'Hearn, a guy I was very critical of here, who never panned out to the level of player the Royals certainly thought he could be.
He's still blocked by him?
Oh, probably. I can't imagine he unblocked me.
Bro Hearn?
But, guys do sometimes come around a little bit later in their career. And for our hope, let's hope that Drew Waters is one of those players.
That'd be great.
He was certainly a high prospect and a top prospect in a system.
and a high draft pick.
Remember, they gave up
a well thought of player.
They gave up that was it a first round pick or comp pick 1 year to trade for him. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was
they did.
That was the Dane Moore era, I believe.
But and he seemed like that was
no, that was JJ. That was a JJ.
When they were still searching for answers, we went and talked to all the rookies at that time. Remember, we went and talked to Vinny Pasquantino, Drew Waters.
I do remember talking to Drew Waters.
Michael Massey. We talked to Drew Waters. Talked to a bunch of people. I went ahead and checked. I am still blocked by Ryan Horne. I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's.
Were you a jerk?
I wasn't a jerk. I was honest about his play, which was
fresh start for him in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's gone well there. I'm happy for him, just like anybody else. I don't wish him fresh start for him.
And when you end up, you know, moving on from the place where you didn't have a ton of success, you may be more willing to hear feedback and execute said feedback too.
Or if you're in a more hitter friendly ballpark,
all of the
maybe
above.
More of those balls you put in the air don't end up in an outfielder's glove.
Yeah. Once again, thank all of you for joining us that made it out to Springfield. We had a blast.
Really appreciate it.
That's going to do it for Cody and I this week. We are heading out to Cruz, California for Nick Schwartz's wedding on this week. Drew, appreciate it. You're going to be hosting with Logan Weber, Bink the rest of the week.
Three of us will be holding
you got
the
your NASCAR race this weekend. I know that's you guys are working on maybe having a driver, which is perfect timing if that's the case.
Very cool.
So we appreciate it. Drew, we will talk to you in a couple days, man.
Sounds good. Have fun, guys.
Talk to you guys later.